You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I write about the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago and Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're doing a little bit of an off-season update, kind of catching up on a few things from around the world of the Chicago Bears. A bunch of little things that aren't quite worthy of a deep dive individually, but collectively here make for a nice little update and a little break from the NFL draft talk. We've got more details on the re-signing of Aaron Lynch, including a steal of a contract for the Chicago Bears. We got a text question in the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line about free agent and sort of the transition process here. We'll talk about Zach Miller, his potential return, and winning the Ed Block Courage Award. The Bears' preseason schedule was also released, and they opted not to sign any additional kickers after yet another tryout, so we'll have to talk about that position here as well. So it's not quite a full-on mailbag podcast per se, but we do start with a question we got on Twitter a few days ago from Christopher Bonner at BoneDog1978. He said, are you surprised how little Aaron Lynch is getting paid this season? By most accounts, he played well. Even with health concerns, I figured he'd make at least what he got last year. And Chris, I appreciate you asking the question because it brings up a good opportunity to talk a little more about Aaron Lynch. Then the Bears re-signed him to a one-year deal, and it just came out a few days ago about his contract terms, just 1 year, $1.5 million overall. It's a significant pay cut from where he was last year with the Bears. He signed a one-year, $4 million contract to play for 2018. Sort of supposed to be that one-year prove-it contract to show the rest of the NFL that, hey, he can still play at a high level to then enter free agency this year and presumably get a long-term deal with a team, or at least, you know, kind of build off of what he was able to do in Chicago on a number one defense. And, you know, plays 13 games last year, ends up getting three starts with Khalil Mack's injuries in there. And, you know, three sacks over the course of 13 games isn't quite the season I think Aaron Lynch was exactly hoping for. I mean, he's in a rotational role, so there's only so many opportunities he's going to have to get onto the field and to make impact plays as a pass rusher. And he is more than just a pure pass rusher. That's also a factor in here, that he's a player who plays well against the run. And you know, I'm not going to tout him and as a coverage guy necessarily, but can do that and can get away with a little bit of that. And you can trust him doing a little bit of everything. But 190 pass rush snaps ends up generating a total of 16 pressures by Pro Football Focus's numbers, only about a 5 on their pass rush productivity ranking, which is per snap how much pressure they're generating. And you kind of compare that to the rest of the NFL, it was a bit of a snap-to-snap disappointment in terms of production. It wasn't at the bottom of the barrel in terms of pass rushing in the NFL, but it wasn't consistent enough in how much pressure he was generating, how often he was able to actually get after the quarterback and affect plays. It wasn't terrible, but it just wasn't phenomenal either. And then I think that kind of describes Aaron Lynch's season in a nutshell. He just wasn't, it was fine. He was a fine third outside linebacker, but didn't necessarily play like a guy who is ready to step in and be a every down, you know, linchpin edge rusher for a defense. So to be able to bring him back in Chicago in the same role, even at the same price, I think would have been a fine deal. And so then to be able to get him at this price really, I think, makes him a steal. I mean, you're talking about him making less money than Sam Acho was supposed to be due this year. That third outside linebacker spot was going to be one of the Bears' biggest needs. I would have said the biggest need entering draft day would have been that third outside linebacker, because you had Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz really behind Mack and Floyd. But having Lynch back in there, who now knows the system, is familiar with these guys, and plugs back in, certainly gives you a lot more confidence there. He's still only 26 years old, by the way, too, so still a lot of great football ahead of him. And some reason to suspect that, again, if he can stay healthy for a full season, which is still part of, I think, why his free agent value remains low is injuries have been a big part of his career and still are after last year he had a concussion and some elbow injuries as well. So there's a lot of question marks still with Aaron Lynch, but you add him to that outside linebacker rotation again, all of a sudden that becomes much less of a need. Still a position I would look to address in the NFL draft. A, you never have enough young pass rushers, but B, I think long term you want to make sure you're continuing to build out at that position because you don't really have anything guaranteed from a young pass rusher standpoint there. And the Leonard Floyd discussion, I think, can be a whole other podcast that we'll get to at some point down the line. And in a similar vein, I don't know where exactly edge rusher might sit now if you're trying to compare draft needs across the position, because I think the team need discussion, which I think we'll have to dedicate a whole podcast to here before the draft, it is two separate conversations. It's what positions are the Bears, quote-unquote, weakest? You know, where could the Bears still use more talent? And I think that's a separate question to where should the Bears use their draft picks? Because, you know, some positions, maybe they don't necessarily need to add an impact player at that position right now, but they could use a draft pick there to make sure you have someone kind of waiting in the wings to take over in the future. You know, I think maybe like the guard position, for example, with Kyle Long, you don't necessarily have to use a top draft pick at the guard spot because that top draft pick at guard is probably not going to play, you know, only when Kyle Long gets injured. But Bears would probably be pretty wise to use a draft pick on a guard given that they're going to need a guy working long term there to eventually take over. You know, so does that become the biggest team need, or is it just a draft need? It's the line there is a little bit blurry, and I think that it's a couple of separate questions that we're definitely going to need to tease out a little bit more in depth on a future podcast. But still plenty of other topics to get to today. Talking about free agency transitions, we're going to talk about Zach Miller and his future since he's been kind of back in the cycle. The preseason schedule came out and the Bears also worked out some kickers as well. So plenty more coming up next on Locked On Bears. So like I said, it's not fully a mailbag podcast today, but it's sort of some recent Bears topics that we've also gotten some questions about in the Twitter and Facebook and the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line. But one that we didn't get questions about, but was kind of in the news, was Zach Miller, the tight end. The Bears teammates voted him as their winner of the Ed Block Courage Award, which it's a nice, you know, honor and all that good stuff, and he's a good guy, and they tend to have been voting it to people who are recovering from injuries, and Miller certainly fits the bill there. And he still hasn't ruled out a football career. He spoke with the media. I haven't really been able to find a good audio source for the extended conversation, so I don't have quotes I can play for you here, but generally he kind of said that, you know, he's still working on recovery. He was trying to do some jogging, but he was having some soreness from that and still trying to figure out where he's at, but would like to kind of make a decision here so he's not stringing anybody along for too long. But I think the way his contract worked, because he spent all of last season on the physically unable to perform list and then which converts to injured reserve and was never active for any point of the year, basically his contract kind of holds over from the previous year, and he didn't end up counting a full salary cap hit from last year. I'm not super clear on how exactly that designation works and how much he counted last year and how much he could count this year and what kind of injury clauses that carries over with. But regardless, he is under contract for the Bears this year still, again, at a veteran minimum contract, with the Bears pretty well not expecting him to play. Not that they know for sure he won't play, but they knew he wouldn't play last year, and there's still a pretty strong chance that he never plays NFL football again. And certainly Zach Miller's health has to be the most important thing. I mean, he has to live his life. He has to go on, and, you know, I think he's got a wife and kids, or at least a wife, and, you know, he there's a lot more to his life than football. He's only 34 years old, and he's going to go on and do bigger and better things, I'm sure, as he, you know, goes on with his career. So I wish Zach Miller all the best. And I think even if he does come back to play football, he's not going to be anything more than a third or fourth tight end in the offense anyway. So, you know, good for him for fighting through this and overcoming all this adversity and getting his leg back and almost losing it and continuing to fight and being honored by his teammates for doing so. It sounds like he was a very positive influence in the locker room throughout the year, which certainly validated the Bears' decision to bring him back and to keep him around. So it's an all-around kind of feel-good story at this point, kind of making something positive out of something that could have been so much more tragic and so much more negative when he had that injury against the New Orleans Saints almost 2 years ago now, I guess year and a half as we approach the upcoming regular season. So I just wanted to touch on that briefly before we turn our attention to another little snippet of semi-Bears news coming out just this week with the announcement of the Bears preseason schedule. And again, it's the preseason schedule. It's not necessarily what I would call exciting. It's not, we're not going to get too fired up or worked up over a preseason schedule. But the opponents are officially set here with the Carolina Panthers coming to Soldier Field for the first preseason game, then week two against the Giants, week three at the Colts, and then back in Soldier Field week four, the last preseason game against the Tennessee Titans. Now, last offseason, of course, last preseason, first of all, no Khalil Mack, no Roquan Smith. Those two changes will certainly be add another dynamic to what we see in August. But the discussion about starters is certainly going to pop up again now in year two with Matt Nagy. And kind of based on what we saw last year, I don't know if we'll get to see any starters in the first game at Soldier Field against the Carolina Panthers, maybe a series. But at that point, probably not. Then you go to week two, and the discussion has been about, okay, will the Bears do joint practices? I believe Ryan Pace has expressed interest in doing joint practices with a team. It's typically for that second preseason game that they've done it in the past. But the Bears play the New York Giants again in the regular season. So I've seen reports that say the Bears are unlikely to do joint practices with the Giants because they're going to play them again and because it's just too much contact with a team on the regular season schedule. It's different when you only play them in the preseason. It doesn't matter. You're not going to see it. You know, it's the Denver Broncos last year where it's pretty inconsequential. But a team like the Giants that you're going to meet back up with during the year, it sounds like the Bears doing joint practices in New York is unlikely for that, which I don't think they would end up doing joint practices with the Colts. I think it'd be too late in the preseason, but we don't know that for sure. That is the reunion for Chuck Pagano, so I don't know if that plays a factor in it either way. Either Chuck knows a little bit too much and they wouldn't want to do joint practices, or it just might be weird for Chuck Pagano going and practicing near Indianapolis, even though that seems like the closest proximity of any other roster. I mean, I guess I don't know the physical distance in miles from Chicago to Green Bay or Detroit, but it seems like Indianapolis might be the closest NFL city to Chicago. So there's something that would make sense there, but I think the timing is just a little bit more difficult with that one. But it'll be interesting to see Chuck Pagano against his former team. Certainly, I think he can give them if any lingering players, and it's been 2 years now since he's coached there, but if there's any lingering players that sort of on the roster bubble there, Pagano will have some insight on, you know, what those guys are like off the field to help assist Ryan Pace in that regard. And then wrapping up with the Tennessee Titans, not going to see too many starters there, but back at Soldier Field for that one. Another preseason rematch with the Titans. They seem to be kind of the new Cleveland for as far as Bears preseason opponents there. But it's going to be interesting to see if Matt Nagy switches up the starters situation at all from the previous year. I think given how much this team is shaping up to be a contender, I wouldn't expect to see starters any more than we saw last year. It seemed like last year they would have had more reason to play the starters given sort of this rebuild feeling that the team had coming into the season, that this would be a slower transition with a young quarterback and learning a new offense and all these things. Obviously, they were a bit more accelerated, which a lot of people were able to enjoy, but during the preseason, that wasn't quite as obvious at that point. So I guess I would expect another preseason of light starter usage. Obviously, staying healthy through that whole stretch is going to be critical as well, with training camp in there as well. But it's nice not having the Hall of Fame game at the beginning to add another game to kind of throw another dynamic into that. That might set up week one of the preseason to have a little bit more starters than maybe we saw last year because there's one fewer game. But other than that, I would expect relatively uneventful preseason in that regard, which I guess should be expected at this point. Now, I don't know about you, but I was expecting the Bears to add another kicker after they brought in some former Alliance of American Football guys in for a tryout on Wednesday, but the report from Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune says Bears not expected to add one. We'll discuss what that could mean next on Locked On Bears. So Bears general manager Ryan Pace has been big on these kicker tryouts this offseason. They've got Chris Blewett and Redford Jones on the roster right now as their only kickers under contract after releasing Cody Parkey. Both of those players signed after the Bears had held kicker tryouts. I don't remember the exact dates, but I want to say Redford Jones was either late January or early February. The Bears had some kickers in for a tryout. Jones supposedly won the tryout and was the most impressive kicker there, and they signed him. Then later on, they had another kicker tryout, I believe in early March, just before free agency started going. Chris Blewett supposedly does not blow it and nails that tryout and gets signed there. So then again, on Wednesday, the Bears held another tryout, this time with a pair of kickers formerly of the Alliance of American Football, Nick Rose and Young Ho Koo. And I think we've talked on this podcast a few times about the kickers in the Alliance, the AAF, which just recently folded, and AAF players are allowed to sign with NFL teams. I think now getting close to like 50 AAF players have already signed contracts for this offseason with NFL teams. The Bears have not been one of the teams to do so just yet, but I thought they might. I really thought the AAF would be a good source, sort of a nice late free agent bump for the Bears to find a kicker here. Young Ho Koo and Nick Rose were both, I believe, 14 of 14 on kicks in the AAF. Now, not all of those kicks, I mean, it's not Soldier Field conditions as far as wind and cold temperatures and all that kind of thing. I mean, these were all kickers kicking mostly in the South, but still complete accuracy in game situations. There was another kicker, Elliot Fry, that was also 14 of 14, I should mention, but he was not involved in this kicking competition. But Rose had hit two field goals from 50-plus, which added a little bit more credence to what he had done in the AAF. Koo hadn't attempted anything beyond 38 yards, so you could kind of say, okay, he's just hitting a bunch of easy kicks in good weather, so you're not going to give him too much credit for that. But Rose nailing some of the longer kicks. I believe they had both played for the San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers with a little bit of NFL experience under their belt as well. So it made a lot of sense that, hey, maybe the Bears could find a nice bargain kicker here that they were just able to see do live kicks and not just these simulated tryout level kicks. So they hold the tryout with Nick Rose, with Young Ho Koo, and also NFL veteran Caleb Sturgis, who's also a former Chargers kicker in there as well. I believe he had kicked with the Eagles before that. He might have been their draft pick, too, if I'm not mistaking him with another kicker. He was out of Florida. He was a Dolphins draft pick in 2013. Kicked 2 years with the Dolphins, then three with the Eagles, and then the Chargers just a little bit just this last year. And he's had some accuracy issues, so it's not like Sturgis is a sure thing either. But I would have thought after the kicking competition that one of those AAF kickers, given how successful they were kicking in those game situations, would have made it on the way out, but that was not the case. Ryan Pace decides not to sign any of these AAF kickers. The wording from Brad Biggs was Bears do not plan to sign a kicker after Wednesday's tryouts. And this kind of went along nicely with a text we got into the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line. It said, Lauren, perhaps the most interesting facet of the Bears offseason will be the kicking competition. You mentioned Jones, Blewett, Koo, Rose, and Sturgis. As intriguing as this might be on paper and as important as the kicker position might be to Bears fans, especially following last season, in your opinion, how much will this competition ultimately impact the Bears in 2019? And this specific text didn't have the name with it, but as I look through the phone number, I believe this comes from Trevor from Minneapolis, who's texted in our phone line before. And Trevor, you know, there's going to be times when the kicker position is frustrated, but I feel like we're gearing up for something maybe similar to last year, where I don't know how many wins Cody Parkey ultimately cost the Bears during the regular season, but it more or less didn't matter until the wild card game and until that last kick in the wild card game, to be specific. So it's the kind of thing that you never know when it can come back to bite you, and when you never know when it can actually be a problem and start to, you know, in the worst possible time. But clearly, if your team is good enough, you can overcome having issues at the kicker position. It's not something you want, and it's something you really should work hard to avoid. But I don't have a lot of faith in Ryan Pace's ability to evaluate and solve the kicker position. Even when he's been asked about it like 20 times at a press conference, he doesn't really give an answer that tells you why things are different or how he's exactly learned from his previous kicks, previous kicking mistakes. And being, you know, trying to rely on these kicking competitions to find the best guys, not only the competition between the two players on the roster and them competing in training camp, but even just these kicking tryouts that they have at House Hall, just doesn't seem like it's a tried and true solid method for solving the position. So I'm fully expecting the Bears to add a rookie. I don't think that's going to be a draft pick. I would be surprised if they used a pick on a kicker at this point, but I think they'll add at least one undrafted free agent at the spot and just let them kick it out and hope that one kicker emerges. And I have a feeling, you know, they'll pick one through the preseason. Probably by the end of the preseason, they'll have a guy. And I have a feeling whatever kicker they pick, we're probably going to get 5 or 6 weeks in the season before they've missed a couple kicks and the Bears end up signing another kicker off the street. And we kind of get back into this Connor Barth slash, who else was Cairo Santos, who I believe John Fox referred to as Carlos Santos at one point in there. Mike Nugent in there. So, I mean, that's kind of what I'm expecting this season. And, you know, the Bears that year, 2017, they hit like 73% of their kicks. It was bad. The kicker position was horrible. But the kicker wasn't the reason the Bears went 5-11 that year under John Fox, right? I mean, the kicker cost them some big moments and maybe a game or two. But the problems go a lot deeper than the kicker. And I think, you know, you compare it to the 2018 Bears and moving on to 2019, the kicker won't be the reason the Bears go 11-5 or 8-8. You know, whatever the season's going to bring, rarely do you see the kicker have that much impact on the final season win and loss. It can be one or two games, even when that's the wild card game, and it, you know, it can be the game-winning kick at the end of the year. But if the Bears are a good enough roster, they can overcome having some poor kicking situations. They can, you know, if you stop asking your kicker to kick in difficult positions, like at the end of games, and you just score more points and play better defense and not have to have a game-winning field goal, then you don't lose games by game-winning field goals. And that's sort of the bigger point about the importance of the kicker position and how much it might affect things in 2019. I'm not optimistic there. Like I said, maybe a rookie can throw a little bit of a wrench in there and give you a little bit more confidence. But guys like Redford Jones and Chris Blewett, yeah, man, it's going to be rough in my opinion. But we're going to get through it. Made kicks, missed kicks, whatever happens, we'll be right here on Locked On Bears to bring you more daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to keep up with everything we're throwing your way. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and you can join in the conversation right here. Reference the text and voicemail line. You can leave those as well. The phone number is 312-620-8590. That lets you join in the conversation right here, so it's not just me talking to you, but you guys can help drive the show a little bit, get your thoughts heard, and get your questions answered as we creep closer and closer to draft day. We'll have plenty more draft talk coming your way. We'll get a little bit of a bigger picture look at the draft, and hopefully I've got a good guest lined up here for the running back position, a guy I think I trust at that spot more than anybody else at any other position. And this guy, once we lock down a time here, I'm really looking forward to the draft talk that we're going to be having coming your way real soon. So make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears, because these draft picks, man, it's the last sort of addition and influx of Bears talent. Gets you excited, lets you feel a little bit more optimistic about this team once again, and leaves you with that last bit of feeling before we get to the long off season of May, June, and July. The only way we're going to get through it is the way we get through every day in the off season. You bear down.